You there, student. Do you endlessly doom-scroll Trade Me Jobs, Indeed, and Seek? Do you put off thinking about a career post-study? Do you even know where your degree can get you? Well, worry no more, friend. It's time for In This Economy, where Hoftroff speaks with job experts from the University of Otago Career Development Centre. From how to boost your CV to leadership programs, we've got the goods to get you from A to B, B to C, C to 3, 3 to D, D to me, me to B, B to Z.
That'll be good for the economy.
It'll be good for the economy.
This is In This Economy, folks. We have a lot of guests. We have Lindley Soper from the Career Development Centre, kia ora. We have Comsa President Archie Mitchell, kia ora. We also have Grace Esterman from Startup Dunedin, kia ora.
Kia ora.
How are we all doing this morning?
We're doing amazing.
Doing amazing?
Really good.
Nice, nice, nice. Braving the cold weather to get here.
Oh, yes. No, chilly one this morning.
It's hard work.
Very, 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 very. It is a bit brutal. It makes you not want to get up. But we've got to do it because we've got lives to live.
So we do.
So we do. And part of our lives, it seems, more and more, especially in the professional space, is LinkedIn. That's the subject of today's inquiry. And I want to know, how often do you use LinkedIn in your daily lives?
I try and look at it most days. Mm-hmm. I scroll through it either on the app if I'm waiting around or just, you know, if I've got a moment. I really like to keep an eye on what people in my network are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a quick scroll.
Mm-hmm. And that way it's kind of like Facebook. You're seeing what the family's doing, the friends are doing,
yep.
But in a professional sense.
Yeah, and then you find a few rabbit holes to go down and, you know, some interesting stuff. So it's good.
True. And you, Charlie?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Archie.
Definitely.
Starting off on a great start. Archie.
Nah, no worries at all. Yeah, definitely every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in your study breaks, you know, you see a notification come up, same way you do with Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You end up scrolling for a little bit and, seeing what everyone, all your connections are up to, what the economy's up to, that type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we want to hear on this. This is In This Economy. So that's perfect. And for you, Grace, what do you? How often do you scroll that thing?
Use it pretty regularly. So we have a like work account as well as a personal one.
Mm-hmm.
I find I scroll on my personal one about twice a week, just to kind of find out about events and things.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, let's start with LinkedIn gripes. I'm sure we all have at least one or two. My main gripes are that I find it annoying to have a social media site for jobs because less of your time can be spent doing things you love, and it's another form of datification, which I feel a bit iffy about. What are yours gripes, if you have any?
I don't really have any, to be honest.
No gripes?
No, I mean, yeah, if you're not in the job search space, which I'm not, there's a lot to look at, and if you haven't got time, you just don't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair.
So I don't really.
Fair.
Yeah, no, it is definitely scary going into that datification world nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much a gripe as it is just something that I find very funny around the language that's used on LinkedIn.
Mm.
It's so specific to LinkedIn. It's nowhere else going to be found.
Yeah, the vernacular.
And, Yeah. It's not really a gripe. It's just something I find very interesting.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Severance, if any of you have seen that show.
Yes.
Very similar. And you, Grace, do you have any gripes with LinkedIn?
I think it really depends on who you follow. So a lot of people are kind of that, look at me, but that's very much like the US culture of it.
Mm.
And it feels really unnatural as a Kiwi with our kind of tall poppy syndrome and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and make it so I follow people that are interesting and that I'm genuinely curious about, rather than follow anyone that's a bit too rah-rah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I'm very, very fair. I like following the parody accounts. I think they're the highlight of my LinkedIn experience. Let's touch on, I guess, the focal point of this conversation here. You know, I want to know, what is the relationship between students, LinkedIn, and professional communities? How does that look like in 2025? I'll start with you, Grace. I want to hear your expertise from the startup world.
So I guess the connection is that as a student, you are in touch with so many interesting people, and I see it as just a place to capture and build on your network. So as you are a student, you'll meet lots of mates and lots of like lecturers and things that are really cool, and it's worth following them because you never know that in 5 years when you're doing something completely different, you might need to kind of get back in touch with those people. So it's more about that, building your network and capturing it, rather than constantly job searching. So there's kind of two main ways to use it, job searching and building your network. And I think that's a big part of it, the network side.
And Archie, you're kind of, I guess you could say, a leader in the student businessy scene. You're the president of COMSA.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. What's your perspective on it?
For me, I definitely see it as kind of an intermediary between employers and future employees. In the sense that it separates the difference between personal and professional. It allows a space for employers to contact you in a professional setting, as well as, you know, the employee yourself to contact employers in the professional setting, whether that's just for a coffee chat or something like that. It takes away that stalkerish vibe of trying to find someone on Facebook.
Yeah.
And just allows,
I really like your vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want to work for me.
Exactly. It provides that professional setting where you can contact them, you can reach out, you can ask questions about, you know, a seminar or a networking event you've just attended and feel comfortable to do so.
And for you, Lindley.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that these guys have said, and I think the way the job market is at the moment, and particularly for students graduating and looking for that first job, which is, it's tougher. It's tougher last year, and it looks like it, you know, probably tough again this year, really. If you can find a way to stand out from the crowd, if you can build that network and perhaps reach out to people and have those conversations so you're not just another CV and a big pile of CVs. And we hear that a lot from employers, you know, how they're responding often to those reaching out by graduates. So it's kind of being able to stand out a little bit in that process.
For sure. Now, Archie, I've got a couple of questions, I guess, just for you, because you're the president, as I mentioned, of the Otago Commerce Students Association, or COMSA. You know, a lot of my non-professionally oriented friends have LinkedIn now. Is it the same for you?
Depends on what you define as, you know, professionally orientated. Whether you're talking, about tradies, or are you talking more about those just that aren't oriented within business?
I don't really have any tradie friends. It's those who get, like, you know, office jobs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I've definitely seen it becoming more apparent. Friends that are through medicine and law and the arts, definitely bringing that in to expose their professional capacity within that. The same way that, you know, it separates that professionalism to the personal. They can use that for their same element, you know, looking out to employers, looking out to jobs, and following firms, you know, in regards to law that they could be interested in, or following certain artists through the arts, or, you know, looking into certain higher up people within the medicine industry. I find definitely is becoming a lot more apparent.
Did LinkedIn help you to get where you are today?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely, yeah. 100%. I couldn't have done it without it.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. You know, in the case of reaching out to employers and expanding that network, coming from someone who started out with zero network at all, not knowing a single person in finance, going to these, you know, seminars and these networking events and just flicking a quick message to them afterwards gives you that capacity to where they can remember you. I've got something to refer back to by, you know, reaching out the next day. Oh, hey, if you're still around in Eden, you know, can we grab a coffee? That type of thing. It allows that, you know, platform to be able to do so in a non-creepy way.
Yeah, for sure. What does it look like when you send a first message to an employer? You are X.
It's definitely one of those things where, again, referring back to that language that you use, it's that professional language that you have to incorporate within it. You know, ask a question. They love, you know, answering something and helping you out. So just asking that first question is really the biggest thing and often gets the conversation rolling. That can be just, you know, same with LinkedIn, just scrolling through their bio and, oh, that looks interesting, let me ask a question about it. And that just gets the ball rolling and gets the conversation started.
Now, Lindley, we've heard from the student perspective. I want to know from the, I guess, the employer side, what are some key things that employers look for on LinkedIn with their search and profiles?
I think it's really important that your transferable skills stand out. So, you know, obviously if you've put an application in, there's a certain amount of info on your CV, but they're really looking to see transferable skills are huge. They're absolutely, they're just about everything. So LinkedIn's an opportunity for you to talk more about those. And really, they're looking for an individual, so they get a lot of applicants often. And you know, what makes you different? They want to employ one person or a small number of people if it's a grad program, but they really want you as an individual. So you know, I always say, have an about section. You know, it's got to be compulsory and tell your story in your own words. I want to know more about you. I want to know what drives and what motivates you. And if I can get that sense as an employer, I've got a much better idea whether you'll fit with my team or my organisation. So, you know, it's like peeling the layers off an onion and that about section and other places on your profile. You can really do that.
Yeah.
And that's really effective, I think.
Hedging your bets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
On LinkedIn, there's lots of bells and whistles you can tack onto your profile, like listing proficiency certificates in Excel, getting recommendations from other people, etc. You know, how important are these for employers?
Well, employers are individuals, so, you know, recruiters, HR people, you know, they have their own personal preferences about what they like and what they don't like, the same as when they're looking at CV applications. But I think it comes back to the same thing. Your profile needs to look professional. It needs to look like you've put some effort into it and you're serious about it. But I don't think the bells and whistles, some of them are more important than others. So the about section I've mentioned, I think the recommendations are great because there's somebody who's verified talking about you in their own words, about an experience with you. So those kinds of things that showcase more than your CV does. But you don't need all the bells and whistles.
No. Yeah. And if you can't get a recommendation on your own, you should talk to a friend and you can give mutual recommendations to each other. That's what I've done to game the system. All right, Grace, from startup to need, my friend. How does having a good LinkedIn or using the site quite a lot, you know, increase the chance of someone starting a business that they'll be taken seriously by like a venture capital firm maybe or a firm like yours?
Yeah, so I guess it doesn't directly correspond with being taken seriously, but the network effect and the social capital and the cheeky asks helps you to know who's in your network, be able to search, cool, I really need to talk to this person, they're two contacts away. I can ask this person to ask that person for an introduction. So it's getting those direct introductions to people is what really helps, and being able to... we're a big fan of the cheeky ask, so searching a network, figuring out who you know, who you can ask a cheeky favour of, can you come, can I pick your brain about something? So it's more about being able to capture that value, and it's surprising how many people you'll know that know other people that is like the perfect person to get in touch with. So it's more on that than having 500 plus connections. But also just being able to see that you've got those mutual connections with people is pretty handy too.
So in a sense, you know, Startup Dunedin is an organisation that's built by its ability to network and mentor prospective business folks. So you'd say its role in, I guess, the student LinkedIn to job pipeline in Aotearoa is definitely on that kind of network social capital element.
It's the connections. And Dunedin's small enough that we know all the first names of people at big businesses, and they're always more than happy to sit down and have a coffee with people. But if you can get someone in your network to ask that person for you, they're way more likely to say yes than if you were to cold reach out. Not saying that doesn't work, it does sometimes, but yeah, your LinkedIn is more of an extension of your CV rather than, so like, curate it, figure out who you want to follow, learn new information. You can follow some really interesting people that are like the tops in their field.
Now, from all this testimony I've heard today, LinkedIn seems to be way more important than I thought it was. So I want to, you know, how can we encourage students who want to, I guess, expand their network and utilize LinkedIn to get the best job they possibly can? How can we encourage them to get on there and use it?
Oh, can I answer that one?
Please go
ahead. Because I do the weekly intro to LinkedIn webinar for the Career Centre.
This is your forte, yes.
And it really is just to look at what it's about. So often when students come onto that, they haven't got LinkedIn and they're just thinking about it. And, you know, basically I just go through my profile, what makes a good profile, but then how we use it, etc. So they can come on and have a look and decide whether it's for them or not. And they can also... you know, book an appointment with a career advisor to discuss their own profile or get it reviewed by one of us if they're struggling a little bit, or mm-hmm. even a bit of a strategy for how to use it,
yep.
Touching on some of what Grace said.
Is that open to breakfast hosts as well? Because I might take you up on that.
Oh, possibly.
Have you got some spare time after the show?
Maybe.
Oh, man. You know, when I initially started on LinkedIn, I felt... are you going to say something, Archie?
I was just going to add, I think it's just a must-have nowadays.
Mm.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think any employer out there will go straight to your LinkedIn. When talking about you or inquiring about a position, just to see what you're about and what you've done and what you're interested in. I hear it time and time and again talking to employers that they want to know that you're, number one, interested in whatever that firm specialises in, as well as you're interested in the company as well. They want to see that you're engaging with them and you're following what they're doing. I think it's massive.
And
so I think it's just one of those things you just got to do.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that it maybe takes the stress off people who want to have a certain reputation on their social media and then have a nice professional zone. You know, they have Castle Street pitches from 2020 or 2021 or whatever, and then they can have beautiful button-up shirt and tie picture on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that separation between professional and personal.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
Exactly.
And it's a bit more about not just how your profile looks, but also how you interact. You know, who you're following, what you post.
Course.
All of that's part of your brand or your reputation that you're building as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, those mutuals you were talking about before.
I honestly wish I'd had LinkedIn a little bit earlier, because it's surprising how often I do reach out to people from that I met during uni time, and I'm like, hey, can I have your email? You're in a really interesting job now, and I have a startup that really wants to talk to you. But it's just like, the longer you have it, the more useful those connections and the more kind of honed in on where you want to be and where you want to help facilitate those connections between people, because it's not just about getting them for yourself, but it's about helping other people to if someone asks me for a contact, yes, I'm going to connect them for a coffee, because what goes around comes around, and it's all about the network effect.
Reciprocity. It's not a I think we'll leave the LinkedIn chat there. Winter is coming in. A lot of folks get hit by winter blues. You know, it's cold, it's dark. I know we've probably all experienced that before. What are your respective ways on staying warm and happy, staying with you, Grace?
I love the CZDs. I love to walk the dog, routine.
It's fantastic.
Sleep a normal amount, eat food, take it back to the basics, and a little bit of, you know, socialise. Get out there.
Don't stay at home all the time. And you, Archie?
Definitely being a student, you know, sleep starts to lack coming into exams, and you start to pull some back hours, and the stress piles on. 100%. I've found the most effective way for me to remain in that sanity level is to just have that one thing you do every week that resets you. That can be anything from just going to the gym, going on a walk, spending time with your friends or your family or whatever that is, and make it consistent. Same time every week, no matter what, that just brings you that peace and that calm. It just completely resets you, and it genuinely feels like you just, you know, whether it's once a day or once a week, whatever it is, just resets you and allows you to just go straight into it, rather than it feeling like, you know, your week's just going and going and going and it never really ends. It just resets you, provides you with that stability, that calm, and just gets you focused again.
And for you, Lindley?
I like that idea of a deliberate reset. I mean, I do it without thinking deliberately, but, you know, my week's really full on, and I'm with people a lot of the week, so in the weekend I just like big pile of books and chocolate will do it.
Hell
for me.
Yeah, you speak my language. That's brilliant. Loving all the responses here, and I want to thank you all for coming on the program. We had Archie Mitchell from Consa, we had Grace Esterman from Startup Dunedin, and we had Lindley Soper from the Career Development Centre. Thank you all for coming on the program. Any final words, any of you?
Get LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Get started. Simple as downloading it and figure out as you go on.
And make it interesting. Follow interesting people that don't have to necessarily be in your field. Just make it really interesting for yourself.
Amen to that. Thank you all for coming on the program.
Thank you very much for having us.
Appreciate it. Coming up very, very shortly.
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz. Forward/podcast.